In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a story that I know is true because I found it in multiple sources, including the memoirs of someone who was actually at the battle. But at the Battle of Gettysburg, on the first day, there was a certain point where a Confederate position was being shelled by Union artillery, and the ordnance that they were using was a type of shell that would explode. It had a fuse that was timed to explode over the enemy, and so fragments of that shell would come raining down on the men below, and it would kill the maximum amount of people. And one of these fragments hit a Confederate in the head, probably mostly grazing him, but he was not wounded as bad as he thought. But he felt his head and saw the blood, and he began to run, and he said, "I'm dead, I'm dead." And his brigade colonel called to the stretcher bearers, and he said, take that dead man off if you can catch him." Now that story, while true, is funny because the man wasn't dead, and we know that he wasn't dead because he was running off at a pretty fast clip. We know whether we're a Christian by how we behave. Our behavior has to match our claim if it's to be true. We can profess to be something and it not be true. And there are very many people who claim to be Christians and that their behavior tells a different story. And in the gospel reading, we hear why that is. Many of us were called to the table, we're called to come near to Christ, to have communion with him, but what do? We make excuses. We find reasons why we really can't do it. We have higher priorities. But the choices that we make show what really is important to us. And as the gospel reading ends with the words, "Many are called, but few are chosen," the point is all of us are called. All of us are called to that feast. But whether we're chosen or not is not some arbitrary choice on God's part. It's a matter of whether or not we respond. God chooses those who choose to respond to him. The Jews were called, and only those that answered that call were chosen. And today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Forefathers, all the righteous of the Old Testament that came before the time of Christ who answered that call. And they are now at that table with Christ. St. Gregory Palamas, in his homily on this gospel, points out that the reason why this parable is told is that it's to tell us that there was no injustice on God's part that so many Jews found themselves outside of the new Israel. It wasn't because God just didn't like them or he just arbitrarily chose to cut them off. It was because they chose not to respond when he called them. But St. Gregory also points out that this is also true of Christians. And I'll quote him here. He says, "In the same way, not all of us who are called after Christ, as they were after Israel, will be reckoned as belonging to the Christian race. But only those who live according to his will, keep his commandments, and make up for their shortcomings with repentance." So there's the difference. There's the kind of behavior that has to match the claim if we are to claim the name of Christ. And here St. Gregory was alluding to a passage from 1 Peter. And because I normally read the King James and the New King James, I actually never had previously caught the use of a particular phrase until I saw the footnote in the translation of St. Gregory's homilies and then started checking out what the Greek actually said. In the King James it says, "But ye are a chosen race." This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation," in the King James, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And when it says generation, that's a possible meaning of the term there, but actually a better translation, what you find in most translations today, is the word, "You are a chosen race." In the epistle reading, we hear about how in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. But he says that this is true of those who have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new. So the Jews are not saved just because they were the children of Abraham. Christ had made that clear in the Gospels. And we are not saved just because we come from Christian people. We, if we are truly believers, if we have truly put off the old man with his deeds, we become part of that chosen race, the Christian race. And that's the race that we want to belong to. That's the only race that's going to save us. And in the context of the church, that's the only race that matters, is whether or not we're a Christian or not. If we're a Christian, we belong to that race. If we're not a Christian, we belong to the fallen race of Adam. Christ said in the Gospels some very stark words that we need to ponder when we think about this. He says, "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." There's a lot of people who on the day of judgment are going to be thinking that they're coming there to be handed the crown of glory and be saved, and there's a lot of people who are going to find out something different. And the thing is that right now is when we have the opportunity to do something about that. Right now is when we have an opportunity to strive to live according to the gospel and to make our behavior match our profession so that when we say that we are a Christian, we actually live a life that's in accordance with that. And when we fail to do that, if we make up for our shortcomings with repentance, we remain part of that Christian race. It doesn't mean that we have to live a perfect life and we can never fail. We can never fall into any sin. But the difference between a Christian who will be saved and someone who thinks that they're a Christian and will not be saved is that a true believer will continuously strive to live according to the gospel, and when they fail, they will ask for God's mercy and trust in his grace for that forgiveness, but they won't live a careless life. They won't blow off the gospel. They won't blow off trying to live according to the Christian life and just figure that if I check certain boxes and go to church once in a while, that I will be saved. That's the difference, and that's the way that we need to live, is putting off the old man and putting on the new. Amen.